On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I conclude my season preview for football as I wrap up the second half walkthrough of South Carolina's schedule. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 83 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And for any new listeners, if you're gearing up for the season here, what I mean by that is I try to keep every episode from 18 minutes and 1 second to 20 minutes and 1 second, 1801, the founding of USC, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. But if I get a little carried away and I go a little over, don't hate me too much for it. Hope y'all are buckled in because we are tantalizingly close to football. If you haven't seen the leaked video of Sandstorm with those new LED lights, do yourself a favor, hit the pause button. I won't be mad at you. Go to my Twitter and go find the video that I posted about it. It is absolutely electric here. Absolutely electric. Got a packed episode for you here where I wrap up my season preview for Carolina football as I go through the second half of their schedule here. But I do have my handy dandy Gamecock calendar here with trivia and facts. And y'all, if you've been listening this offseason, you know this is a staple of the offseason episodes, but you gotta say goodbye to her, guys. She's going away. This is the last episode with the Gamecock Fact and Trivia, as next week I go back to my original pattern of episodes. For those of y'all who are new, the Friday episode is a weekly recap of all USC athletics where I give quick scores and updates for any sport that is being played, whether it's tennis, soccer, equestrian. I try to cover them all. If I miss any, please do let me know. And then I go into the weekend preview, which during the fall is football. And then on Monday, we review the weekend. If there's any games that happened outside of football, recap those quick and then focus on the game there. So it takes up time. It makes it packed every episode. So we're going to say goodbye here to the trivia here with one last trivia question until next summer. In 1998, Gamecocks men's soccer product Clint Mathis became the first USC player to be a first-round pick in MLS. What team chose the midfielder with the number 6 overall pick? I have no idea. 1998? I'm going to be honest, I didn't know MLS was around in 98. Answer is the Los Angeles Galaxy, the LA Galaxy. Shout out Clint Mathis, first-round pick. But, woo, that is electric. But now, it is time to turn my sole focus to football as we are single digits away. It's unbelievable. It's actually here. We made it. Oh, it feels crazy. It's single digits away, depending on when you're listening to this. You're 8 days away, 7 days away, whatever. Kickoff is here, y'all. I mean, football season is here. This weekend, there is college football, real college football that you can watch and bet on and do whatever you want to do. We're back. We're back. The offseason is done. Oh, my goodness. So, going to move to my second half schedule walkthrough here for y'all. And it's kind of funny. I mean, based on my first half walkthrough last episode, you could take my quote-unquote analysis and have the Gamecocks anywhere from 3-3 or 6-0 as they come up to the bye week. You know, I had a couple people tell me that I was drinking the Kool-Aid maybe a little too much this offseason. But you know what? Kool-Aid tastes good. I like it. There's a reason they make it, and I'm going to keep drinking it if Shane Beamer is serving it. But it really is funny with the first half. I think it's a pretty balanced schedule, and I think it's a testament to a few things, the positivity around this program and the optimism that everyone has this offseason. And again, with that balanced schedule with a couple of games you can really pencil in as W's, a couple maybe more toss-ups, and you know, one or two challenging, which brings you to the bye week, and you could be looking at a good season into your bye week, or at a minimum, you'd like to think bare minimum 3-3, and you're like, okay, what's the path from here? So that brings us to week 8, coming out of the bye week, October 22nd. This is at home against Texas A&M, and we all know the dreaded reality of this so-called rivalry, in that Carolina has never won the matchup against A&M since they've joined the SEC. And another sad fact of this is, really, when you think about it, it just feels like the majority of these games have just, they've not really been competitive either. There's a couple, but generally speaking, A&M has just really had South Carolina's number ever since these two were paired as permanent rivals. And don't get me started on that. That is a rant for another time. We'll do it when the time comes next season, but not going to talk about that. But on top of this all, it's starting to feel like Jimbo Fisher is really starting to hit his stride down there between some big wins in conference last year and obviously hitting it big in recruiting. Whether that's because NIL or not, it doesn't matter. They've had some big-time recruiting classes and now are coming in with the number one recruiting class. So last year, A&M went 8-4. They did not participate in their bowl game due to COVID, but that 8-4 included a massive upset over Alabama, which really put them on a great trajectory for the year. They were 11th in total offense in the SEC, which I was a little surprised to see, honestly, but they were the third-ranked defense in the league, so really balanced things out, though. And truthfully, y'all, for all the reasons listed above, this is the game I am most nervous about on the schedule. And it's also the game that I think could prove to be the most challenging for Carolina. Now, it is at home, which I love, and it's after our bye week, which, if you go off last year, would be a good thing, considering how the team played after the bye. And then with the extra preparation for the bowl game, the team looked great, yada, yada, yada. However, when you take one look deeper, it's also A&M's bye week the week prior. So the arguments for being more rested and prepared applies exactly to them. It's just, of course, it's the first, of course, of the football season that you think you might have a little bit of an edge in the A&M game, and then, nope, they take that away too. Now, similar to what I said for Kentucky, eventually, somebody has to say enough when it comes to this game and this team specifically. And our team eventually needs to put their foot down and just win one. Just win one against freaking Texas A&M. It's crazy to me. I don't like thinking about how we're winless. There's still that stupid freaking trophy that technically exists, but we just haven't seen it because we don't win the game. It's like some cowboy. I don't freaking know. And what even is an Aggie? It's an agricultural person? It's just infuriating. One of the biggest cult fan bases you'll find is Texas A&M. And they're going to do their stupid midnight yell again somewhere in Columbia. How about the mayor of Columbia just says, no, I'm not going to give you the permit to do that. They did that on the State House steps a couple years ago. Just disrespectful. But I digress. But with that being said, the home crowd, Spencer Rattler under center, this is our best chance, what feels like a little bit, right? Since a few years, this feels like our best chance to get the W here, but this is a very tall task for South Carolina to start the second half of the season, and one that is going to be challenging, right? So you're coming out of the gates hot with one where you're going to need a few things to go right, it feels like, but hey, you know, that's football. Which brings us to week 9, homecoming weekend. Always a fun time on campus. October 29th at home against Missouri. A homecoming weekend is a Halloween weekend, Hollow Weekend. How about that? My God, 5 points going to be popping off. Catch me at Jake's. Just kidding. Probably not. Maybe. Who knows? Obviously, we are playing for the Mayor's Cup in this rivalry. And this matchup with Mizzou, it's funny. It tends to come at a critical point in South Carolina season, whether it's jockeying for the division, you know, positions, or whether we're fighting for bowl eligibility or they're fighting for bowl eligibility. It just always comes at a very interesting point in the season where it's late enough that you can kind of start to peak at the end of the year, but you're still in it where you're like, okay, we got to buckle down. We really got to worry about winning this one. Now, I've said it time and again that if South Carolina truly wants to establish itself as a contender in the East under Shane Beamer, then you have to start beating Mizzou regularly. I'm not talking about winning 5 in a row, 6 in a row. Just, you got to beat them regularly. You got to win the next 3 out of 5, 2 out of 3, something like that to establish some dominance. And yes, they've had some success on the field here and there over the years, but they're barely an SEC team, right? I mean, it feels like their ceiling is much lower than ours. Feels like they have a little bit lesser resources. Yeah, they do okay in recruiting, but I mean, come on. You just have to start winning more than you lose against them. Last year, Mizzou went 6-7, including their bowl loss. They ranked 9th in total offense in the SEC, 13th in total defense in the SEC. They are bringing in a new defensive coordinator, though. And it's funny because the heart and soul of that team last year, and really the only true threat on offense, was their running back, Tyler Beatty. He's gone now. So they do return, I think, most of their offensive line, a couple of guys on defense who played well last year. But all in all, they have been very up and down since Eli Drinkwitz has been there. This game is homecoming for us. And while that doesn't guarantee anything, it does ensure a pretty packed crowd. And we were pretty close to securing a pretty furious comeback last year in the game. And really, a couple of bad plays early in the game just threw us out of whack and really stopped us from controlling that game in the first place. So if you give me home field advantage on homecoming, a deeper South Carolina team this year, and some big question marks for Mizzou going into this season, I can definitely see the Mayor's Cup coming home to Columbia, South Carolina, where it rightfully belongs. Moving right along here to week 10, November 5th at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, who cares? Just kidding. Just kidding. Especially after last year, that'll show you that anything can happen and you cannot look any opponent. You cannot overlook any opponent, even if that opponent is Vanderbilt. But I mean, man, it is really crazy with the streak South Carolina has on Vanderbilt and just truly how long they have been bad at football. Bad. Like, not even just less than competitive. Just they've been bad. And what's it, 13 or 14 years in a row South Carolina has won? It's crazy. Now, last year, Vandy went 2-0. Obviously, a very close game against us, which we ended up winning. They were dead last in the SEC for both total offense and defense. And now look, maybe eventually someone figures it out there and makes them somewhat competitive in the SEC, but that still feels like it's not this year. It feels like that's going to take a little bit to get there. And on top of that, Vandy is just not an intimidating place to play. And our fans usually travel pretty well there, get to go to Nashville, make it a fun weekend. So for all those reasons, I feel really good about Carolina in this game. And hopefully this can serve as a bit of a spark plug for the stretch run in November. We saw the Gamecocks play well in November last year. Well, maybe if you roll into Vanderbilt, have a convincing win, it can set you up for success for the home stretch. And if you're able to tie that in with a win in the week prior against Mizzou. A nice two-game win streak can put you in a very prime position for that home stretch. Brings us to week 11, November the 12th at Florida. So it's crazy. It's a good bit of travel to start November. Back-to-back road games, Vanderbilt to Florida. And obviously, we know the story about Florida last year. USC beat the brakes off them as we began to hit our stride. Dan Mullen gets fired not too far after, and they have since hired Billy Napier. They went 6-7 to end the year last year, went fourth in the SEC in total offense and eighth in total defense. I kind of feel like that's a little deceiving. I didn't look too much into the numbers, but their defense was just ass at the end of the year. Like, they were just playing out of position. Maybe in total points and things like that, they were decent, but they just did not look good at the end of the year. I think they even fired their DC in the middle of the year. Mullen was trying to keep his job. But nevertheless, to me, Florida is an interesting opponent. Always has been for me. The spark notes on my reason why are that Florida is usually this. Usually has a ton of talented players. They have a ton of resources, and they have every reason in the world to be a great program consistently. But I'm just never really intimidated by them, right? I mean, even with them bringing back some stud players this year, it's still like, all right, well, prove it. I'm just not intimidated by them. They haven't had that X factor since Urban Meyer left all those years ago. And until things change, like I just said, I look at the Florida game as a game Carolina should be in and have a chance to win. And, you know, we don't know what year one of the Napier era looks like for them, right? Is it a match made in heaven and he hits the ground running and they look great? Does he struggle in year one a little bit? But by this point in the season, we're in November, all of that will be pretty evident. So my tone on this game could very well change in either direction, right? Now, I don't love us having to go to the swamp. They could also be looking for a big SEC win in the back half of their schedule. So that environment could be crazy, right? So it's going to be a tall task, but it brings me back to my point of not only is this Beamer's second year managing the SEC travel and road environments and getting a game ready and getting the team prepared, all that jazz, but Spencer Rattler is no stranger to crazy road environments and big-time road games late in the year. So I'm going to expect a lot from Spencer Rattler in this game. I'm going to expect a lot of his presence to be calming and to ultimately have a lot of success. And we'll see how Florida looks when this time comes. But this feels like a game that will be competitive, maybe boiled down to a last possession, but a true coin flip type of game, if you will. Brings me to week 12, November 19th at home against Tennessee. And I'm sad to say, but I think I honestly still have some PTSD from that game last year. And it's really only the first half too, but it's still there. And on top of it, a lot of people are really high on Tennessee going into this year. And I hate Tennessee with a burning passion, unrivaled burning passion. So I'm never going to buy into any hype, but they did look impressive at times last year and against us too, obviously. So you have to be wary of them. They ended up going 7-6 with a bowl loss last year. They finished third in the SEC in total offense and 12th. In total defense. Basically, the skinny on them is last year they liked to play very fast and they tried to outscore whoever they played, and it worked more times than not. But if you were able to slow them down and score a good bit on your own, you could beat them. Now, last year, I just think we were caught a little bit off guard as to what to do defensively against them, how to make adjustments against them in game. And I honestly do think that was the case with many of the teams that played them last year, especially early in the year. So while they returned some huge pieces, especially on offense at quarterback, I have to believe that our staff is going to be much better prepared for their style of offense by the time this game rolls around, right? And this also feels like a coin flip game. But as I said in the last episode, I'm not here to kiss any other team's rings. I'm not here to kiss accomplishments. They went 7-6. The way people are talking about them, you think they went 1,000,006. So, like, I just see this as a much closer game than most people probably think, and I see this as a much closer game than last year, for sure. When you look at the second half of the last game last year, it was incredibly close. In fact, I think we might have outscored them in the second half. So if that's how the game goes, plus being at Willie B, I have to give the Gamecocks the edge here, right? Plus, I freaking hate Tennessee, so you're never going to hear me say otherwise. Which brings me to the season finale, week 13, November 26, in the Upstate, against that team in the Upstate, a.k.a. those damned old Clemson Tigers. And there's no way getting around it. We are on the wrong end of a bad streak against them. But, I mean, this shit has to end eventually, right? It has to end eventually. And, I mean, anything can happen in a rivalry game. So I'll never look at the streak as a reason to doubt Carolina in a rivalry game, right? Last year, they went 10-3. They were 13th in total offense in the ACC, but had the number one overall defense in the ACC. This offseason for them, from their perspective, was horrible. But for anyone who roots against them, it was amazing. The Wicked Witch of the Upstate, a.k.a. Brent Venables, he's finally gone. And while that doesn't guarantee their defense will take a huge step back, certainly feels like he was the reason that that defense was so good year in and year out. They have some talent coming back, could keep them afloat, but I doubt it being as good as it had been for that long. They also lost their OC, and last year they did have 10 wins, but it just felt like they were more vulnerable than they had been in a long time. And while they returned some big pieces, there's also some big question marks in those pieces, like their quarterback. Not even going to try it, just DJU, right? Big question mark around him. And I hate Clemson as much as any Carolina fan. So every year, just like all y'all, I'm getting up for this game, and I'm going to believe we have a chance no matter what. Now, it stinks this year because the team that we have feels like one of the more complete teams we've had in a few years. And if this game was at home, I'd feel pretty good about this, honestly. Going up there, it is a tough place to play. But you know what? In sticking with the theme of having a quarterback who has played in big-time places on the road late in the year, I'm going to go ahead and say fudge Memorial Stadium and fudge that freaking rock. And in the theme of needing someone to say enough to a certain team, this is the perfect time and place to say that. So when the time comes to spot the ball for this game, I'm going to give us as good a chance as any, and as good a chance as we've had in years to get the job done this year. But that wraps up the season, y'all. And it's funny because I could see any number of possibilities, really. You know, I mean, I wear the Garnet glasses. I'm an optimist, especially in the offseason when you have every reason to be optimistic. Vegas has our over-under at 6. I'll let y'all know, I took that over handsomely. I took that future over 6 wins. And in reality, even if you end up with 7 regular season wins, that is still progress from year 1 to year 2, right? It might not be as sexy as some of the other numbers, but that's progress, and that's what you want to see. But to me, it feels like there's more, right? It feels like there's more wins out there, especially if Rattler gels with this offense to his potential. It's an if, but I think it's going to happen. And with more depth at key pieces than we've had in years, you can really see 8 solid wins and maybe even more from there, right? But if you were to say, hey, do you want to sign up for 8-4 right now? I would certainly do that. But the possibilities are really endless. But that concludes this episode, y'all. I am so excited. Spot the freaking ball. Let's go, Cox. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And wherever you like to listen to this podcast, please like, subscribe, and review. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.